Hi, I'm Dr. Alyssa Abdullah, better known as Dr. J, Senior Vice President and Deputy Chief Security Officer for MasterCard, CISO Ambassador for Cybersecurity Ventures, and your host for today's CISO 500 episode. I'm here today with Deneen DeFiore, Chief Information Security Officer at United Airlines. Welcome, Deneen.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have you on the other side of this microphone with me, too. I feel like we're old friends. We're definitely, and I'm going to just put it out there, we're definitely unicorns in the CISO area. Not that many females. So it's glad to share this experience right now with you. Talking about being a unicorn and, you know, not a lot of female CISOs, I'd like for you to explain your journey and talk about, I'd like to, you know, a lot of times highlight the different backgrounds that we all have as CISOs. So what was your path to becoming a CISO?
Sure. So, you know, not too many share my background, but some. I don't have like an engineering degree or computer science or anything like that. I actually started, in college as a biology major. So I graduated with a biology degree. And during that time, when I was working actually on my graduate degree, I was interning and I got into technology that way. We were doing some systems replacements and I was like, okay, well, I like actually technology more than I like the, you know, operations and the field work and lab work and things like that. So I switched into technology that way. And, you know, I thought it was great. I taught myself how to, you know, code. I taught myself, systems analysis, different techniques. And I was really excited to learn and constantly learn new things. I had various, paths in the technology, in my career on the technology side. So spent the first half of my career, probably the first 8 or so years of my career in technology. And then I ended up being a CIO, not a CISO yet, a CIO for a business unit. And at that time we had a cyber incident. At that time, it was not real common. It was not heard of, and it was a pretty big deal. So learning to navigate through that incident as a technology leader with, you know, different, you know, three-letter agencies, mm-hmm. IT staff, infrastructure staff, as well as the business was really kind of like eye-opening to me. Mm-hmm. That part of technology and risk management was so new and it was so exciting that I kind of was like, you know, okay, this is it. I'm never going back.
Right.
So, you know, after that, I got a little bit of attention at the company I was at GE, and it kind of, you know, transitioned to there. I was asked to lead, to build out some of our cyber functions, and spent the next 10 years of my career as a cybersecurity leader in CISO. And then, just about a year and a half ago, moved from GE to United as their CISO. So, jumped in and never looked back.
It's amazing how a project or just an inkling of an opportunity like opens the door to so much more, because the CISO, you know, when we talk about cybersecurity, it's so broad, it's so big. And I have so many people that come to me and say, well, how do I start? Well, it depends. You know, you can go from risk, you can go to privacy, you can go, there's so many different areas of cybersecurity. And you just heard me lump in privacy with that as well.
Yes.
That I think it just opens so many doors and you can pivot to so many areas.
I totally agree.
I think I'm lucky to have found a spot here.
Yeah.
And because it's just so big, it's so much to do. Speaking in terms of a lot to do and thinking about, you were talking about, you know, opportunities you had in your college years and things like that. It made me really think about me, and I'm teaching, you know, I have kids, I'm teaching them how to drive. And you know how you're driving down the road and you're saying, brake, 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 turn. And then you just grab the wheel and just yank it for them because you're afraid for your life. This is really how I think about data security.
I have a 16, just turned 17. So I'm right in there with you.
Yes. I think we are doing a slow pivot to data security, and it's really kind of too slow for my liking. I think we are pivoting too slow because technology is evolving so fast that that technology is now looking at not only the data, but how we use the data, how we work, putting that all together. And now we have to move from a perimeter security and network security kind of perspective to really a data security, because the data and the elements of the data are really telling more than the data itself, right? It's telling, how does Alyssa or Dr. J, you know, interact with this piece of data? How does Deneen, you know, how does she interact with, you know, with an email or whatever? And it tells a lot about behaviors. Mm-hmm. I know you have some thoughts about data security and things like that. I want to get a snippet of how, you know, how you're thinking about this. And then what can we do as like the first steps to get us started in terms of this data security journey?
Sure. Yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot. And over the past several years, really tried to, you know, I'll say, do things differently, because, you know, what's the definition of insanity, right? Like, you keep doing mm-hmm. the same thing, expect a different result, right? Right. And when it comes to protecting data, it's a lot about, you know, what is most important to your business in that particular context, right? So the other thing with protecting data is around, you know, it's not static, it's dynamic as well too. So you have to understand, you know, what problems you're trying to solve, what's important to you, and in what context are you trying to protect that data? So that's really the kind of key to getting it right. And those conversations are hard to have, because if you're looking at it from a total cybersecurity kind of standpoint, you miss a lot of that. If you're looking at it from a total business standpoint, you're not kind of seeing the, you know, all the connection points. So getting everybody to the table to talk about, okay, what are the outcomes we're trying to achieve? And then how are we going to protect and manage this data? You know, not just protection so it doesn't get stolen, right? Or mm-hmm. used nefariously, but you know, that it's, that you can rely on it, that the integrity is there, especially right. Like in my business, like we people's lives, we have to safely, you know, send planes right. Up in the air based on data. So you have to think about it that way. And I think really starting to think about, okay, you know, strong access management and is key, right? There's no like that, you know, the need to know piece of it is one thing, but actually the contextual access management or conditional access management around, you know, yes, you have a need to know this information, but if you are presented in these types of risk factors, then you probably don't need to access this, not just from a personal standpoint, not just people standpoint, as well as APIs or mm-hmm. different devices and machines. Mm-hmm. So you have to think about it in a much broader context when you're talking about data protection and data security going forward. And those are like, you start to put controls on the data itself versus versus, like you said, the perimeter, the network. Those are all things that are layered. But if you can get to the next layer of saying, okay, well, let's think about, you know, how do we look at that data and protect that data in its, you know, in its true kind of context, I think is really important.
So I definitely agree. And hearing you talk, it really sounds like a risk-based approach. When you look at data security, the different pieces of data, the context of which it sits, and its interaction with the user with a machine, then, you know, that is your conditional access policies can be based on risk and can be evolving and dynamic, right? It doesn't have to be, hey, I've made this static decision and I'm going to keep moving. I know you talk a lot about moving from a risk assessment approach to a dynamic risk management approach. And I'm going to steal that because I think you're definitely onto something. Not that you need me to say that, but I think that is a very, very good way to frame the conversation. Can you give a snippet of, you know, risk assessment versus dynamic risk management and why we should adopt that approach?
Yeah. I think, you know, a risk assessment is a point in time. It gives you a lot of good information as a starting point. Okay, here's you know, what is happening in our, this, here's what are the risks, the vulnerabilities, the threats in my world that are happening today, right? And here's what I need to go about. But you know as well as I do, especially cybersecurity, I mean, we and I've said this before, we have the threat actors are changing and continuously evolving. I mean, on within hours, right? They're kind of rewriting things, reverse engineering, and attack vectors change. So you can't rely on that point in time assessment. You have to be continuously monitoring your environment based on, you know, the business environment, the technology environment, and putting all those things together to really use that data to look at, okay, what is happening at that point in time, and what actions do you take from a protection, a detection standpoint, a response standpoint? So, you know, that risk assessment, like point in time versus always trying to understand what is happening in your environment. And that's hard, but like you can do that for the things that are most important for you and mm-hmm. feel like you're making progress versus like, you know, I don't really care about the app that you sign up for, the company Picnic, right? Versus if we have, if we're able to go to picnics anymore, I don't know, but versus, you know, something that's very critically important to your business. So I think those are the differences, and moving more towards, you know, constant continuous monitoring and continuous assessment really gives you an advantage to say, yep, I'm confident I'm doing the right things for my organization at this point in time.
I think it's really interesting that our conversation has led us from data security to risk assessments. I want to give you another opportunity, just to kind of give us some thoughts on where we're going in the future. What do you think is like the next big challenge we should be tackling in the future?
Yeah. So I think, you know, I don't know if it's groundbreaking or earth shattering or anything like that. But, you know, digital keeps transforming our world. I mean, every single day. So mm-hmm. we have to really start to think about, you know, not the people interactions, device interactions, right? And that data piece of it and how it kind of goes together. So I think, you know, thinking about how I'll say devices and data interact is really, really important. And that goes into, of course, AI and machine learning and making sure that those things are, integrity, the integrity is there and there's confidence in some of those algorithms. So I think, you know, moving towards, you know, securing that piece of it, those kind of, you know, I'll say the logic mm-hmm. is really, really important, logic and integrity. And that's going to be hard, and that's going to shift again, you know, skill set shift and a different type of opportunity for cybersecurity and professionals. But that's kind of where I'm seeing things going.
I want to end this. We've talked about some really hard topics, some really meaty stuff, but I want to end this by something fun that I kind of want to start doing and love to do when I talk to people. I'd like to know, this is the hardest question that you're going to get in this entire podcast. I'd like to know, what's your theme music? What is the music in your head that's playing when you walk out and you're like ready to kill it?
Right. So I have two things. I have, you know, maybe we can make, maybe I'll have to think about making a mashup, but I love, like whenever I start to get really excited, I always play in my head Dancing Queen. Cause I'm like, I'm like, you know, see that girl, watch that scene, see it, she's a dancing queen. I'm like, that's totally like my jam. Yes. But also, you know, I love Alicia Keys, That Girl Is On Fire as well too. Yes. That really is like, you know, kind of inspirational. So I'll have to try to do a mashup of those and see how it works out.
So I'm going to actually end it and give you the thing. I'm going to like start deeming a theme song for every CISO that's on there. It's going to be your own theme song. And my theme song for you is, I'm going to date myself, MC Hammer Can't Touch This.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think the work that you've done has just been amazing. I think you're a great example for all of us as CISOs and how we think about security, how we continue to evolve and push the conversation forward. So I thank you for that.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'm your host, Dr. J, for today's CISO 500 episode, joined by Deneen DeFiore, Chief Information Security Officer at United Airlines. You may visit their site for more information. Our CISO 500 podcast is sponsored by MasterCard. You can listen to all of our podcasts at cybercrime.radio.